Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Carlee, Daytime After Dog. Today, well, yeah, I usually say tonight, but it's today. It's the 15th, and we have a very special guest. I am so excited because, you know, I could blame her solely for me missing school all those years because I was a big Kimberly Insane fan. I love her. I want her to come back a days. It's not the same without Kimberly Insane. And everyone knows who I'm talking about. Patsy Peace is here. Let me bring her on, everyone. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, Carlee. Hey, everybody.
Yes, I blame you. I do. I blame.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm so sorry.
I apologize. I want to see your report card. Maybe we can change a few things.
No, I mean, I missed you on dates, first of all. I think they need to bring you back now. I'm not happy.
Thank you.
Teresa needs her mother. She needs her mother, so.
Some of the scenes with her and John, and, oh, my, that was a mess. I just thought, Kimberly and Shane really, really need to have a little talk session with their daughter, maybe a big time out.
Well, more than maybe put her in rehab. I love Teresa, don't get me wrong, people. But knocking Dawn over was like, oh my gosh. And the thing I wanted to ask you is for viewers that don't know, way back, you know, at first everyone thought Teresa was going to be, Victor's right. Wasn't there a whole thing about that? I mean, am I right? I could have sworn it was.
Well, there were so many times Kimberly's babies didn't know who to daddy. That we played the who to daddy story with Cal Winters and Victor Kiriakis and probably somebody else I can't remember right now. I forget which daddy we might have mixed up Teresa with, but they were all Shane's, thank goodness.
But, yes, I know.
There was a question there for a while.
No, because I'm thinking, I'm like, I kind of wish they would do something about, I mean, this is say something like, Teresa, Victor could be your father, because Victor did not like her one bit, and I keep thinking about that in the back of my head about that, and I'm like, dang it, that would be so soapy, and Victor's like, I could have been your father or something, but,
well, that
you
would
know,
explain Teresa's behavior, wouldn't it?
Exactly. I mean, I'm not condoning her behavior at all, but I kind of understand. I mean, you were busy. Shane was off, you know, with the ISA. Mm-hmm. I understand it, but, you know, in my view, where are the parents? I mean, I feel sorry for both of you. I'm like, I wonder if they get really bad fan mail right now. it's okay. I mean, I do think that because it's like, wow, so, is Dade bringing you back? Does anyone know?
No one knows. You know, it's so tight-lipped now. I mean, I think they're 4 months ahead. So
they are.
Everybody is surprised when they get the script. That's when they find out.
That's not fair.
It keeps everybody on their seat. It has a surprise element. And I think sometimes people, they want to know, but then it kind of kills the surprise for them, and then they're disappointed. So it was like they can't win. So I think that people really enjoy more the surprise element.
Yeah, I think so too, because, you know, the whole surprise, like, you know, especially Cliffhanger Fridays, it's like, I can't believe that happened. And then you have to wait till the weekend, and I hate the weekend now only because if there's a cliffhanger, I'm like wishing the weekend away, which is really bad to do. I know that, but it's like, okay, come on. Come on Monday. But why did you leave Dates? I mean, you and Shane were one of the, you know, greatest couples of all time, next to Luke and Laura, in my opinion. And
I
just think you guys, you know, could have been used through the years, you know, as much as, you know, Kayla and Steve. I feel like both, all of you guys got the shaft for many years.
But do you want to know why I left? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Okay, my youngest son was born with some congenital birth defects, which were very, very serious and required 15 surgeries. So I could not work and do what was needed for my child at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're on a show like Days, if you have an emergency, like I would get calls from an emergency room, your child turned blue and he can't breathe. And I don't have the kind of job where I can say, hey, can somebody take over for me or fill in for me and leave? I can't leave. And so, and it's not, you know, the corporation's fault. That's, they have a show to do and that's their baby. But I had to be real and say, there can't be any emergencies on my job, and I have a life that's nothing but emergencies. So I had to make a choice, and I chose my son.
No, I mean, and it's a good decision. I mean, it's a very good decision. Viewers were happy when you came back for Alice's funeral. I think you came back for your dad's, too, with everyone was surprised they killed him off. You know, there was a lot of surprises there. But it's like, you only come back for the sad moment. I'm like, people haven't come back for a wedding. Not a funeral.
Well, that's just the way it's written. I don't, you know, I don't have any say over the way the writing is. The fans have the most say of anybody. When they write in and say, we want so-and-so to come back, that gets their attention. But otherwise, you know, I don't have the power to say, hey, why don't you write me back in the show? I can't do that. I don't have that kind of power.
People, we need to get Kimberly and Shane back on the show yesterday. It needs to be done. Twitter, Facebook, let's do it. We brought people back before, but let's do it. What was your favorite storyline back then? I mean, you know, back when the height was, you know, you...
Yeah, I loved England. I loved going to London.
Yeah.
I'd never been anywhere before. So, and those were the days when they had a budget and we could go on location. Like, we went to Miami, and those were very wonderful places that I'd never been before. So I enjoyed that a great deal.
Awesome, because, you know, I mean, all of you guys, the storylines were just so good, and... Did you ever feel like, you know, Mo, you know, I feel like, you know, with you and Shane especially, you guys were the push and pull couple for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always feel bad for you for Eve. I'm like, okay, this is not going to end well. This is not going to end well. And, you know, now they got a new Eve on Days. But how was it back then? Because you were... You know, you were a stepmother, and some people liked you being a stepmother. Other people were, like, you know, kind of on each side back then. So for you, how was it?
I'm just an actor that goes in to do whatever work I'm assigned, really. I mean, I just kind of go in, and whatever they write for me, I try to do my very best to tell the story that I'm hired to tell. I mean, that's pretty much, that's the unglamorous part of what I know I am, is just, I'm just another actor who tries to do a good job. And on soaps, we're all storytellers. And if that's part of the story I'm supposed to tell that day, well, that's my job. And I try to tell that story to the best of my ability.
Well, you always did such a good job, no matter what they put in front of you. You always did such a good job. And did you ever feel like, who was your favorite person to work with? I mean, because you were on there such a long time.
Oh, wow. There were so many. I mean, talk, their standard for great actors is so high. That was the other great thing about being on Days, is they hired fabulous actors. And even the actors that came in that were just day players or for a short period of time, just a storyline, they were wonderful, very interesting people. So it'd be hard to narrow down just one. I can't come up with one in my head right now. I see a whole slew of people that I'd love to work with again.
Well, I always thought you and Mary Beth were incredible. You know, Kimberly and Kayla was just, you guys were so good together, you know.
Oh, thank you, Carla. Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I still think you sort of punched your sister a little when she went after Shane, after she died. No, do you know the fans? I remember this. I was in middle school to high school. The fans would go, my grandma called me every day going crazy over the storyline because she's like, how can Kayla do this to Kimberly? I mean, so that storyline, I think Dave really won their will. People were mad. People were furious. You know?
Yeah. I remember the fans kind of getting hot about that, right?
Yeah, because number one, it's your sister. Number two, that's Kimberly's love of her life, and you just went after her, after him. And it's like, wait a moment, this is not supposed to happen. And, you know,
some storylines work better than others. That's for darn sure. And I guess you never know until, you know, they write a storyline, they put it out there, and you see what the reaction is, and you go, oh, okay, we won't go there again.
Hopefully they never go there again.
No, I don't think so.
No, because it was crazy. It was like, well, I mean, I saw Malena being possessed with that, but no. That took the cake for people. That really took the cake for Shane and Kimberly fans because people were outraged, you know, and there was no Facebook, Twitter at a time. But let me tell
you. Oh, wow, there was no social media at that time. That's right.
So I think if there was, everything would be blowing up. And it would have
Yeah, that's a good point, though, Carla, because now with the social media, they get more of an immediate response.
Mm-hmm.
So storylines that you don't like will last a lot shorter now. I don't know if the fans realize how much power they have. Because it's like if we don't have you guys as viewers, we don't have a job. See, you're my employers, not the corporation and not the network, but the fans are. The fans kept my job for me all those years. If they didn't want to see me tell a story, then I wouldn't be hired to tell a story anymore. I wouldn't have a job.
Exactly. So, and the thing, a lot of people, you know, we are down to four soaps. I never thought I would say that. Down to four. And that's scary. That is scary. I mean,
it's sad. It's just sad.
You know, and you know, yeah, it is, and it makes fans upset, and, you know, every year everyone's holding their breath if Dade gets renewed or the new hospital gets renewed. It's like holding the breath because we know it's not a guarantee anymore. So it's scary for the fans, it's scary for the actors, and it's scary, I think. And I saw a lot of really cute pictures at Dave's fan weekend. How was that? Because I wanted to go, but I couldn't, so I really wanted to.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and it was so good to see Jen and Peggy again. And those are two women that I could work with at the drop. I would work with Jen and Peggy for fun and for free. You don't have to pay me to work with those actresses. I would just do it because it's fun. I would be around them anytime just because they're fun. We had a great time. It was a great group of people. And, in fact, it's one of those times where you have a conversation with a room full of people and you don't want it to end.
Exactly.
That's really, and that's great when that happens because you don't know where the time has gone. And you have to clear out because, you know, they're paying to rent the room, so we can't stay in there. But you feel kind of sad, like, with so much left you wanted to talk about with these people. and ask them about, because, you know, we want to ask the fans what's working for them, because if we don't know what's working for the fans, we don't know what goals to make or where to go.
Exactly, because it's so, you know, it's so good to know that now, because way back, you know, there was not many fan club things. There was not a lot of things, and now there is, and I think fans just want to tell you guys, we appreciate you, but when things are not working, you will know in 15 minutes after the show ends now. It's crazy.
Well, it's not like theater. You'll know by the response of the audience immediately whether something worked or not. So we're just going hit and miss a lot of the times. But now with social media and these fan events, we as actors learn quicker what is working and what isn't working so well, what the audience wants more of, and what they could do without. And that's important information for us because we're kind of going by the audience. We really we depend on the reaction of the fans to kind of tell us.
Yeah, and if you ever do talk to Peggy, this Lionel for me, she's doing the most incredible storyline with her Alzheimer's disease. I'm glad they are not progressing it so fast. Yes. I think for the fans, that would be hard for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we love it that she still, you know, is on there, and we hope she recovers from her little injury. And we just, you know, love her because, I mean, you know, she's the head of... Yeah, and she's
quite
the head of the Bravies now. So, you know...
she's doing
really
a fantastic
good.
Job. And, you know, I'm so happy that she was given something she could sink her teeth into, because Peggy was with one of the best, some of the best acting teachers in the world while she was in New York. She was with the Actors Studio, and that was with Brando and Marilyn Monroe and Al Pacino and Dustin Hoffman. I mean, these were the people that she would go to school with and train. And she's trained with the best, and she taught acting. So she's a phenomenal wealth of information, very talented, extremely talented. So when you give her a chance to run, she's like a thoroughbred horse. You let her out of the stable, man, she's been ready. And she'll hit the dirt, you know, fast. And she did go with that storyline. And I was so happy to see her get to have something to really sink her teeth into.
It's so good because, you know, they are finally giving her, you know, a storyline. I was scared after, you know, Son passed away that they were just going to put her, you know, in this a little box. We only see her at Christmas.
Yeah. I'm so glad they didn't.
I'm so glad. And when you came back for your dad's song, I thought one of, you know, the most incredible scenes you had was with Victor, and when you kind of told him off, and I'm like, this is not good. But you and John Aniston have that chemistry, like, okay, you guys don't really like each other, but, you know.
It's so one. I've known John for over 30 years. I worked with John before on Search for Tomorrow, and I played a character who he also wanted to throw out of town, who he also didn't like. So we played this storyline before on another soap, and it was so funny, but I was playing a country western singer at the time. And so when we found out we were doing Days together and this was the storyline, we're saying, wow, we've played this before. We know how to play I Don't Like You, I Want You to Get Out of My Life. He's one of the funniest people in the world. I don't know if you'd ever guess it. I don't know if anybody knows it.
I mean,
he's hysterical. He really is. He's wonderful to work with.
He is, and I love it. And, you know, I just wish, you know, if they ever bring you back, they will bring you back after this interview is done. But I'm going
to
be, like, stalking them now. Just kidding, I'm not stalking you, Dave. But, no, I just think, you know, You know, I just think now, you know, you and Vic do, you know, we're good. And it's funny how Saheed Tween treats us the same way. But Ruth,
yes.
I mean, calling you all the names. And like,
isn't that funny? Yeah,
yeah.
Some people would, see, people tell on Victor. They sent me clips of him calling Kimberly something like he put her down, like she had questionable
mm-hmm.
sexual mores or loose sexual mores or something.
Yeah.
You're just like your mother to Teresa. And so they sent me the clip, and they said, look what's being said about you behind your back.
Yeah.
And I saw that clip, and I thought, wait a minute. Here's the guy who's bed hopping from Brady to Brady,
yeah,
from the mother to the daughter. Oh, that's the pot calling the kettle black. Who has loose moral mores there, Victor Bub?
Yeah, I think you need to call him and tell him that. No, I'm just kidding.
But no, I need to, too.
You know, because, I mean, if they did put Caroline and Victor together, like I thought they were, back when Fawn died, I'm like, oh, they are going to go Caroline and Victor finally, you know. And then
yeah.
the whole Maggie thing came out of left corner, and they had such good chemistry. I mean, Peggy
oh, yeah.
and him did too. But I think
oh,
it
yeah.
would be hard for the Brady kids to ever want their mother with Victor. Well, except
oh.
for Bo, because, you know, Bo, you know, Victor's
oh.
dad.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm.
I always thought, oh, that would be interesting.
Mm,
but,
that would have
know,
a lot of drama attached.
You know, it would. It really would, because of this.
Mm.
It would be crazy. It would be something, you know, good. I think it would be good, you know. And, you know, I just hope, you know, I hope when you do come back together, down, Shane and Kimberly are still together. Or I will be
yeah.
mad if he goes on another ISA and leaves you again. I will want to slap him. but don't tell him the slapping part, because I do want him to come on the show. But I will get so mad at it. I'm like, Shane, what are you doing? Kimberly loves
yeah.
you.
You just said he's going to give it up. It, you know, what if that Rafi character talks him into it coming back again?
Yeah.
I mean,
I keep thinking
that
about it. I mean,
that,
I keep thinking because why now? I mean, they still want to get the demerits, you know, gone and, you know, dead. That's where Bo is supposedly off trying to get the demerits, you know, but no one is buying
mm-hmm.
it after all this time, by the way. So it's
oh,
like, okay.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, really? Oh, my goodness. I didn't know.
You didn't know?
No,
okay.
I didn't know that nobody's buying. I kind of
no.
pick up bits and pieces, but
yeah,
because
people are not buying it. I mean, how can you leave your family this long? And people
yeah.
all getting mad, especially, I don't know, I will tell you because you probably don't know. For about 2 weeks, he was supposedly on, but he wasn't. And they kept saying
mm-hmm.
he was in the bathroom. And people were making bad jokes like, how can he be in the bathroom this long? And, you know,
yeah. it's like that kid, I don't know whether it was the Horton kid or what kid it was that went upstairs
yes.
to the attic and never came down. There's some kid in the Horton's attic roaming
yeah,
around for 20
oh,
years.
Tommy.
Yes.
Tommy.
You remember?
Yeah, I don't know why, but yeah.
Oh, my God, you remember. Yeah, little Tommy is probably a hermit by now with a long beard and funky
oh
hair. And he's roaming around the attic half mad trying to find his way out. And
well,
because everybody forgot about him.
Well, that's like Cassie, Roman and Kate's daughter, after they came home from, oh God, one of the places, you know, where the plane crash happened was on. She went
oh, yeah.
up to go take a nap, and she never came back down.
And I'm like, maybe that's called a coma.
Yeah, and I'm like, and
a long nap.
You know, and then when we heard about Frances Reed, you know, pass away, and they kept saying,
yeah.
oh, she's in her bed resting, oh, she's in the kitchen cooking. When the fans know, when the fans only know she passed
and
away.
And the fans know that the real actress passed, and then they try to believe, they try to say, okay, now let's pretend like the character really is, but we're going to have to really pretend because we know the truth. Yeah, that's asking you guys to stretch your imagination a lot. And I know sometimes soaps do that. They ask fans to really go out of their way to imagine this is really happening when you know it's not.
Well, yeah, and that's why I would throw something at the TV, and my grandma who got me hooked on Dates, you know, I blame her for my addiction. but she's like, you don't want to throw your suit at the TV. You might break it, and then you won't have the TV.
I don't know. I think that's a great way to break an addiction is throw food around.
Well, yeah, but it can break you guys. But I would talk to you all day, but we have so many calls, so, you know.
Oh, we do.
I should have made this private interview. No, I'm kidding, people. I'm kidding. But, yeah, I could, you know, I could talk to you all day. It's like
this is really fun.
My favorite actress when it comes to super couples. And it's like, crap, then I look at the Swiss boat and I'm like, okay, I really have to bring people on before I get stoned or whatever. yeah.
You are so funny.
901, you're on the air, my partner in crime.
Yes.
Hi,
Patty. I am going to be... Oh, here's your partner in crime? Who is this?
This is Celia.
Oh, hi. So
hi.
You're in the crime business with Carly, huh?
Yes. I'm a troublemaker.
Oh,
that's
good.
That's why I like all the troublemakers on all the shows I watch.
My kind of girl.
I fall in love with the troublemakers, and I'm like, I don't know why. Oh, wait, maybe.
Well, if you're a troublemaker, you're probably my daughter, because I only give birth to troublemakers.
Yes.
Obviously. It's something in the genes.
I love Teresa. I mean, she makes some bad decisions sometimes, and I'm like, what are you thinking?
Oh.
And I want to shake her sometimes, but that's most of my characters that I love. I'm like, what aren't you thinking?
Oh, well, you know, I'm sure Kimberly would say, I tried that. It doesn't work.
It's like, been there, done that.
Yes.
No.
Let me save you the trip. It doesn't work.
Yes.
It's like trying to train a cat.
Yeah, or a dog or whatever. But I'll have to say I grew up with gays, but, of course, I was probably not born when Kimberly and Shane were on. But they're such a big couple that I knew who they were, and I knew who played them. And, like Carly said, her grandma, it was my mom that watched Days, so I grew up watching Days.
Oh.
And... but not before that, so I was probably not born. I'm a baby. I'm the baby of the group. But how is it working with Charles? Because he just seems so fun to work with.
Well, that's the other actor that I would, I don't care if they pay me or not, I would work with Charlie. I mean, for fun and for free, because sometimes I had so much fun working with him, I didn't know whether we got our work done. I said, wait, Charlie. And we look at each other sometimes and go, did they tape that? Did they buy that? I said, I don't know. He said, what should we do, love? I said, I have no idea. I have no idea, Charlie. And in those days, you'd have to wait 2 weeks. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Your air show would be. And he'd say, well, I guess we'll find out in 2 weeks.
He just seems so much fun. You know, everybody's like, oh, he's the dad from The Nanny. I'm like, yeah, and he played on Dates. But everybody remembers
he's
him, wonderful. You know.
And he works all the time. And he's one of those actors you're so glad that he is working all the time because he can do anything. Honestly, he can do Shakespeare to Neil Simon slapstick comedy to melodrama. I mean, he can do anything.
And he can, and I love him. So my other question is, if besides Kimberly, who would you like to play on the cast, present or future, anybody?
Well, that's a good question. Probably.
It's always a fun question. I have the fun question. like,
you
it was
do.
Just,
you
it's
do.
Always nice to know who somebody would like to play. You know, if you could play your...
I think it would be more fun to be one of the evil characters, only because it's harder. I think it's harder to be one of the mean characters because people will... They'll have lots of feelings about you at first, but if you don't have something about you that's redeemable or lovable or vulnerable, people just get annoyed with mean
mm-hmm.
characters. They just get annoyed and they kind of go, oh, God, I just want to – I've seen that. I've seen that over and over. I don't want to see that again. So I think the challenging part about playing one of the mean characters is to find that soft underbelly.
Mm-hmm.
And expose that, and so you get people pulling for you, but they're hating what you're doing at the same time. And they hate that they hate you because they know you're good. So it creates a really complex a relationship with the audience. And I think it requires much more craft of the artist, of the actress, or the actor. That's
like
why
your
I tip
daughter.
My hat. Well, this is exactly why I'm mentioning this. I tip my hat to Jen Lilly and all the women that came, the Shane's wives that came before, the Jillians and the Emmas. You know, they're wonderful villainesses, and they had a vulnerability, and the Eve character has a really good vulnerability too. So, you know, these are really talented people, and not many people can get by with playing just and meanie. If it were stereotypical, like Snidely Whiplash, nobody would buy it. They'd say, "Okay, we've seen what you do. Now, can you leave the scene now? We don't want you taking up any more airtime."
Goodbye.
Yes.
Goodbye. And we're talking about kids going up to the attics and stuff, and I had to think of Belle because Marlene and John got married and she's like 9 and they come back after a week on the honeymoon and she's a teenager.
Yeah.
Something
is in that water.
She's growing like.
You know, it was so funny because the last time I played any scene before last year with Jeannie, she was a chubby little baby who couldn't even walk yet. She was bald. And she had a bow around her head. And I was thinking, well, I don't know who the actress is, but I'm sure she has hair by now.
Exactly. It's like, okay. It's like I just watched
and
the way
probably not chubby
go.
Little cheeks. Because this kid was so cute. She's chubby little rosy cheeks. And she grabbed my mouth. And so we did that. When I saw Jen at this fan event, we were going to duplicate pictures. We did one with the original Jeannie, the baby Jeannie, and she always has her fingers in my mouth. So then we did another update picture. We had the exact positions we were in 20 years ago with me holding Teresa, big Jen Lilly Teresa, with her hand in my mouth.
That is so funny.
Oh, it's hysterical. And this is her idea. She comes up and she goes with this one photo shoot and she goes, you know, we're doing these kind of very pretty two shots, holding each other, hugging, looking, you know, like we're so wonderful with each other. And then she goes, okay, now the jumping shots. And I went, what? Well, I am 58 years old. I don't jump. I don't do jumping. She took her shoes off and she says, I was a cheerleader. 1, 2, wee. And then she's up in the air. And I thought, well, you know, I went in Rome. Maybe I'm not too old. So I took my shoes off, and I nearly herniated myself doing what she was doing. But you can see by the pictures, we now have this thing where when I get with her to do any photo shoot, I know we're going to end up doing jumping shots.
So prepare.
She just prepare. Like, she's like a kangaroo. I mean, she can get some height up in the air. I'm telling you, she could play basketball like nobody's business. You know, Jen Lilly proves that white girls can jump.
I've talked to Jen, and she's so sweet.
She is.
And, like, I've said plenty of times to plenty of people, soap actors and actresses are so sweet. And I've had, you know, a few interviews under my belt, but they've all been so sweet, so generous, so about their fans, and that's the one thing that I love.
Well,
you know,
I do too.
And that's what makes me love.
Thank you for saying that.
You know, that's what makes me love you guys more. It's like that, you know, and it's like, because it's a turnoff when you know, you stick your nose up like some stars can do. No names. Some stars can, and it's, you know, it's a turnoff. You know, it's like, no,
well,
you know, you're here because of us.
Yeah.
So we go to your movies, or we watch or we buy the tickets.
Yes.
To go see your movie. That's why it's such a big hit, you know.
And that's why when I say you guys are our employers, I really mean that. You literally give us our money that we try to earn. We try to earn the money that you pay to see us. So really it's the fans that are paying us. That's where we get our bread and butter. And I think most of the soap actors are we're so grateful to still have jobs.
I know. I feel like everything that's happened, you know.
There's only four shows left. Are you kidding? It's like we're hanging on by the skin of our teeth. We are so grateful to still have a job.
And we're very vocal about what we want and what we don't want.
But that's who they listen to.
It kind of gets bad sometimes. I've seen some stuff, and it's like, hello.
But they do listen to you. They really do. And as they should. But that's why people will ask me, like, when are you coming back to the show? And I feel so frustrated because I don't know. I don't have that kind of power. I don't.
Yeah.
I just can't call up. Sometimes I can't even get people on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not in that position. Number one, I'm not on the show anymore, so I am totally helpless, powerless. You know, you have no idea. I don't carry that kind of weight and that kind of value anymore, and that's okay because I know I'm a product, and I know if I'm not earning my keep, then I lose my value. And I haven't been on for a while.
And she's a mother.
Yes. I think
she needs her parents.
I think she needs a good rap on the head. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. I think she needs a good good butt kicking.
Yeah, okay.
But she needs a good kick in the butt.
Do you remember Kimberly lost it and slapped Eve?
Uh-huh.
A long time ago?
Yep.
Do you anybody remember that?
I do.
She was called off. She had a very bad day. it was a very bad day. She had Excedrin headache number 89. And she just turned around and swapped that E. So it's not that she can't lose it again with poor old Teresa, but I don't think that'd be a good idea with. I don't think it'd be a good idea with Teresa.
No.
No.
Well, I would like to thank you for coming on the show, taking your time out to talk to us, and I'm going to let someone else talk to you.
Thank you. It's
You're
really
welcome.
A lot of fun.
Thank you again.
My pleasure.
Okay, well, we have all other co-hosts. We have five co-hosts, but some of us couldn't be here. But Anthony, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Anthony, hi.
First off, I'd like to say I've been a Dave fan for a little over 30 years. And I started when I was three with my grandmother, which is, I think, a big soap tradition kind of thing. We've all been introduced by grandmother and aunt.
Yeah, you're responsible.
I wanted to piggyback on two things that were said earlier. First off, your point when you were saying about being surprised and having that little bit of power over the fans and over the story direction and so on and so forth is so well. Because if we're not surprised, we're going to start tuning out.
I think
social media when people are so down on, oh my God, I'm that point, and this was so terrible. You know, it might not have played out the way you wanted it to play out, but you got to keep walking, and that's what we need to do.
Wow, that's a good point. Anthony, no, that's an excellent point, because sometimes it's like, you know, Katharine Hepburn said, I don't care what you say about me, just spell my name right.
Yeah. the other thing I wanted to say
is keep talking about me.
Is I just loved Kimberly's vulnerability. There are so many actresses on the soap that do bad good, do good good, but they don't connect vulnerability-wise. And I think Teresa and Lily, she was cast perfectly as your daughter because she brings such vulnerability to it. We can't
And I know, isn't that frustrating?
When we're just looking at her before we go to another scene, and it's like, oh, that's it. That's the moment. That's the reason why I love
her. Yes. Well, that's such an insight that you have, Anthony. That's such a wonderful insight, because the vulnerability is, you know, very difficult to portray, well, especially with Jen's case, with a character that is so hell-bent on self-destruction.
Hello? His phone probably was having... he's back.
Did we lose somebody?
Yeah, we lost Anthony.
Anthony, come back. Come back.
Anthony, come back. Okay. Well, I have a question before I bring on all the calls that we have. How many kids does Kimberly have? Because, you know, I think they age Teresa a little, but you have other kids, and I don't, you know, they say, oh, you know, they are off canvas, but people forget how many kids Kimberly actually has.
I don't think it's just Andrew and Jeannie and Eva's the stepdaughter.
Okay, because I thought there was like three.
Not that I know of.
Okay, I was just
I'll have to double check on that, Carly, and get back to you. But I don't remember two pregnancies. If there was another one, they slipped that right by me.
Yeah, well, with I just don't like them when they age, you know, the kids. Okay, let's see. Okay. Oh, yeah, Anthony's back. Hey, Anthony.
Okay, hi Anthony.
Show here.
Yep, you're here, buddy. Anthony?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
It's show here. I service for me. Horrible. I apologize.
Okay, so what else do you want to ask?
We got a bad connection, Anthony. I'm sorry, honey. Like I want to hear what you have to say. You're kind of coming in and out. Your connection.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
Interesting. He brought up some really interesting points.
I know. He's one of the co-hosts, so you know.
I mean, that's really something to think about.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's okay. Let's bring on. Let's try Anthony. One more time, Anthony. You here? Anthony?
Trying one time. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Kind of kind of like every other word.
Yep.
I'm perfect. You have tremendous amounts of love for me.
Well, I am so honored that you called, and you mentioned some points that I wasn't really sure about, and you've given me something to really go away and think about, about the surprise element and how we might complain and not like something, but the fact is we're talking about it. We are advertising that show, whether we think we are or not. And that's something something for me to think about.
Off the topic of that, but how does it work, you know, cues of you coming...
And we lost you, Anthony.
I think the connection went away.
I know. Okay. 304, you on the air?
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air with us.
Hey, it's Tracy.
Tracy, how the heck are you? West by God, Virginia.
Yep. Sounds like good.
I can tell by the accent. No, really, I only have three people that consistently call me, Carly, and it's, Tracy's one of them.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Getting ready for Brianna's birthday, so it's kind of hectic.
I bet it is.
And especially having teenage kids.
Well, yes, and Tracy can comment. I usually say if you can avoid having teenagers, please do so. Go through the childhood, the nice, gentle, wonderful, fun childhood phase,
mm-hmm.
and then just skip to adulthood because the hell years are here. But Tracy's a really, really good mom, so she's not experiencing hell years with her two teenage daughters.
Oh,
well, thank you.
Good.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, That's good you're not getting the hell yields. I mean, most dogs would do that. I do that to my mom, so, yeah.
Did you really? Oh, my gosh.
See, not so bad, but you know, she wanted to give me away when I was 15 and give me back when I was, like, 17, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, see, there's some moms that know it's just like, oh, my God, when does the rebellion ever end?
Well, see, I was never about the drama, so my kids aren't, so it's just
right.
easier that way and that.
Yeah.
So are you ready to take the plunge for this cherubs? Are you doing
oh,
that?
Oh, to jump us on? You,
yeah.
No, yes, I'll let you feel. Oh, no, August the 9th, I believe, in Jacksonville, there's a televised organization. It's Dare to Care. Oh, what? Oh, I'm going to get it. Oh, I don't know. They dare people to do stuff for charity. And I'm so sorry I'm going to get the name messed up. But they dare people to do stuff for charity. And if you've got a charity, you get a hold of them. And now that I can't remember their name, it's kind of like totally doesn't do anybody any good. But
it says Dare Me for Charity on the website.
Oh, thank you, Tracy. See, this is why Tracy is so wonderful, so useful. Okay, Dare Me for Charity. Okay, so they're going to come here, and now they're having this particular dare is the higher you jump, the more money you earn for the charity. Now, like I said, I told Jen Lilly, Patsy Pease is 58 years old, Patsy don't jump. Patsy don't do jump. Well, obviously, Patsy does. In fact, ever since I told Jen Lilly that, I've done nothing but jumping events. Be careful what you say. I mean, oh, gosh. So, yes, I guess obviously I do jump. But, you know, one thing that's good about it is they also do things where they dunk you in ice-cold water. They shave people's heads. I probably won't volunteer for that one. But the ice-cold water I would do. So it's here in Jacksonville, Florida. It's August the 9th. And it's on the website. So if anybody wants to come down to Jacksonville, August the 9th, and it's got all the directions and the information on the site. And you can just be a spectator if you want to. You don't have to jump and watch me, or you can just stand there and watch me make a fool out of myself. Everybody else does.
You won't.
I think jumping
oh,
would be cool.
I love it. Look, yeah, this is one thing I love about getting older. You don't really care what you look like anymore. You don't care so much what other people think. So it's more freedom to be yourself. And I kind of found out how goofy I enjoy being, and it really doesn't matter to me what other people think. Obviously, if you've seen some of my pictures.
I think it's more freeing to be goofy.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just you're free and you're open, and it's just better. You know, life's better when you're goofy.
Well, yeah, and there's no pretense of having it all together and being a little Miss Perfect and having every qualm, every hair on my head in place. I mean, I could never pull that off anyway because I'm kind of a hot mess by nature. So it's better if I just go ahead and let it all hang out and not have any hang-ups about it. So, yeah, it's a whole lot more fun.
I actually feel the same way because I'm just like, you know what, take me or leave me, I am what I am.
Mm-hmm. Like Popeye. I am what I am, Brutus. I am what I am. I eat me spinach and I am what I am. With gigantic forearms.
So, how did it go in Washington?
It was really good. Thank you. That's another thing for Cherubs. Cherubs is an organization for children with birth defects. And as you know, I have a younger son that was born mm-hmm. with birth defects. And so I try to do as much as I can for raising research money. We try to fund research money because these babies, there's 50% of their chance for them to survive, and the 50% that do survive have serious medical conditions for the rest of their lives. So we're trying to find some solutions. So we went to Washington to talk to senators and House representatives and all sorts of really important people, and I was scared. Oh, my gosh. Well, I have told somebody else the other day, I fell asleep in civics class, so I didn't learn what goes on in Washington and what the process is and who does what. So I thought, well, maybe if I just keep my mouth shut, I won't show how ignorant I am. And then the founder of the organization, Dawn Williamson, she was so funny. She was so sweet. She said she went on YouTube and she watched the cartoon, I Am a Bill. And that little guy who's folded up like a wrapped up newspaper, like a little Gumby doll. And actually in that little cartoon, they take you through the process of how a bill is passed. And it's just as much information in a very simple way that even an idiot like me could understand. So the way I prepared for Washington was I went on YouTube and watched cartoons.
Cool.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I have no shame. So by the time I kind of knew what people did, I could relax. And then I had conversations with senators and House representatives that had nothing to do with politics. And I was so relieved.
That's so good.
Yeah, because I was so relieved. Even if we went there, I could kind of sound like I knew what I was talking about. Not much, but I could hit a few keywords. And but because I was so relaxed that I didn't have to prove anything to anybody. And that kind of freed me up to really get to know them and what they were about and not focus on me, but focus on somebody else and be interested in their life. And who doesn't like to talk about their life?
Exactly.
So it was the key. All I had to do was show up and be interested in other people. What a concept. I didn't have to know what a bill was.
Well, hopefully they get bills passed for the young kids and for the adults.
I hope so, Tracy, because we have a sponsor from the Senate and we got a sponsor from the House of Representatives. Now, it gets caught up in committee, so we're just hoping that we can move it through. And, you know, you got to be a squeaky wheel. That's, you know, court.
Yeah.
And that's okay because, you know, I'm from North Carolina and you're from West by God, Virginia, and, you know, we got that in common. We don't mind being squeaky wheels.
No.
We don't.
No, we don't.
So I'm just going to be squeaking away.
I hear you.
In fact, you know what? We're going to come pick you and Brianna up on our way. We'll drive through Virginia and pick y'all up on our way so we can all go squeak together.
Okay. That sounds good.
See, Carla, she'll do it. She'll do it.
Yeah,
you know
what? Truthfully, I think it's a good cause. I think these little ones deserve every chance that they can get.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I do.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I know that you also join me in some of the Scar Man, who is this wonderful guy who he heads up the Arthrogryposis Children's Charities. And he has lots of pictures about my favorite, and he has his favorite child who's born with the disease.
And those are, I love the, when he, his pictures. I just,
yes.
I love them.
And it helps that you comment because these kids have parents that are going through hell because that's the disease that my son has. And I know when you go through a surgery a year with a child and you wake up every morning not knowing if your child is going to still be breathing, those parents need all the support they can get. So when you see these things, might look like just some little picture on Facebook that doesn't mean anything, but their parents read these and they see who's interested in my child, who cares about my child besides me. And So I really appreciate you commenting. Little encouragements, just little words of encouragement. It doesn't matter. It doesn't take much. But just the fact that you took the time to do that, believe me, it makes a difference to the parents.
I think it's a wonderful thing that he does with with posting those pictures and stuff. And they're adorable.
They really are. And, you know, the joy that you see in these kids' faces, and some of their limbs are twisted. And we look at the imperfection point and go, oh, how can they be so happy? But, you know, I learned a lot about what perfection really is, and I think we've got it all wrong. It's a state of mind. The joy that these kids have and they find what their strengths are, they don't focus on their weaknesses. They don't focus on what they can't do. And how many of us, including me, walked around going, oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. I'm so limited. Focusing on the limitations when all they do is rejoice in their strengths.
That's
so
true.
Which one of us has the handicap? I think it's me.
I think it's me. I mean, you know. Yeah.
You know, but isn't that great to have your perception of what perfection is challenged? And it frees you up to see the world in a deeper way that it frees you because you're not held in this little box of restrictions of, oh, I have to be this, I have to look like that. All the advertisements in the society say I have to do this. I've got to have this product. I've got to have that dress, you know, to be acceptable and to move up and be successful. All these things we're being told, we're being bombarded with all these stupid, shallow, superficial messages of what perfection is. And it's hard not to buy into it. And then you get a bunch of kids like this who are having a ball, and they don't need any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need it. They don't worry about it. They don't not beating themselves up because they can't achieve this and that. And so I look at that, and I look at the shallow, superficial billboards, and I go, which reality do you want, Patsy? I want what those kids got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what?
They are definitely troopers, that's for sure.
They are. And when I grow up, I want to be just like those kids.
Me too.
Exactly. Patsy, did you have time for, like, 3 more calls? Because I know you said
sure.
You could only stay an hour.
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
We can go over, of course. Yeah, I'm having a good time.
Sorry.
Well, I know why. It's always good, as I've been taught that. But, no, Tracy, you should call in. You know, if I could get Patsy on here every week, I would love it. I would be, like, in a happy little place, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. I'm like, you know, because I was watching a lot of YouTube clips, and I'm like, God, you know, she's so talented. Then I saw you on, you know, YNO, too, and I'm like,
oh,
maybe they can send it. Maybe they can send it to mine all.
Oh, you know what? Can I tell you a little side comment on that, Carly?
Yeah.
Charlie Shaughnessy's brother, David, directed those scenes.
Wow.
Hmm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I remember he was, you know, at YNO at that time, but I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. I went in and I said, you know what, you Shaughnessy boys, I can't get away from working with you guys. If I get a job, I'm going to be working with a Shaughnessy boy.
Hey, you know, with things you could work with, I say go for it. Did you have any more questions, Tracy?
No, I think I've taken up too much time already.
No, you haven't.
It's so good
fine.
To talk to you, Tracy. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Have a great
Give
day.
Brianna.
Thank you, too.
Give Brianna
God bless.
A great big hug for me.
Oh, I will.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tracy Schoolcraft, you on the air?
That was Tracy.
That was me.
Oh, my God. That's funny. You showed up twice. You tried to...
Okay.
It's her evil twin.
Yeah,
no, I'm serious. You showed up twice on the Swiss boat.
Ooh.
I know, now I'm freaking out.
That's scary.
Okay. No, you did. You showed up with a phone number, and then you showed up with, you know, your name. That, okay, that is freaking me out now. Okay, now I'm freaked out.
Me too.
Me three.
Okay, well, I will bring on my co-host now. So have a good night, Tracy.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
Tracy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
April, you're on mail.
Hi, Patsy. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hi, April. Oh, thank you guys for having me. This is so much fun. I enjoy this so much.
Well, I've been really enjoying listening to your interview so far. Well, they asked my question, too. Would you be willing to come back if they send you a script to Days of Our Lives because of all the action that's going on right now?
Well, yeah, but that all depends on if they want me to come back. It's up to them.
Well, we're definitely going to push for it, that's for sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Because that's where the power is within you guys. Yeah. You know, you guys push and I get a script. Oh, my God, I'm going to call Carly.
See, yeah, we are going to, April. We have to get on the bed, Greg, and out and do this.
Well, I've been watching Days of Our Lives since, I hate to say it, 39 years. My grandmother got me hooked when I was very, very young. And I remember your character, all the Shane Donovan, all the romantics. And I also remember that she had quite the temper back then. Do you remember when her and Shane would fight?
Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first day I worked on Days of Our Lives, I wasn't given any wardrobe but a sheet, and put in Tony DeMera's bed, and my first line was a scream.
Wow.
Did anybody see that?
Well, I did. I remember my grandmother was a big fan of Kimberly Brady and Shane Donovan. As an actress, before you, I know you had a lot of, poor Kimberly went through everything that there was to go through. What did you do to emotionally prepare for a lot of the emotional drama that your character endured?
A lot of prep work. You know, well, I come from a theater background, and so they really beat training into us for preparation, and study. I mean, the one great thing about going to a university and developing that kind of discipline is that it did instill a kind of discipline that's automatic. So when I got a script, like I went to School of the Blind in Los Angeles when I found out Kimberly had the blind story.
Oh, I
and,
remember
that.
Amazing.
And interviewed people who did have some challenges in that way, and they let me know exactly what their day was like. And a lot of it was not what you would usually think, because these are coming from people who they're actually living it, not some book that has a theory. You can read about it,
right.
But I was trained to get out in the field and talk to people with the DID, the multiple personality storyline. I talked to the head psychiatrist at Los Encinas Psychiatric Ward, and had some wonderful people who, you know, but that's part of, I think that's what training can do for you, is it gives you kind of a roadmap of how to find out, you know, the emotional layers that are going to be there, is you go interview people in the field.
Definitely.
But everybody's got their own way, and it's kind of like at the end of the day, whatever works is fine, because the show goes, I mean, those kind of shows are going so fast, so furious, with so much dialogue, that if you can just not bump into the furniture and say your lines, that's a brilliantly successful day.
Yes, that's true. Many of the interviews that I've done, some vary in the responses, but my question to you is, when you're doing, like you said, a multiple personality scene or going blind or whatever the case may be, a lot of them have said that they go into character several hours before their scene, and some of them have been quoted as saying they actually stay in character as much as that 24 hours before. I mean, have you gone to that much mental preparation?
Sometimes, if you see, well, you know, and there are a lot of actors, you kind of, you use every bit in your toolbox that you can possibly, whatever's going to work that day. Some days when I had to change three personalities in one day, it was, I couldn't remember who I was. So, you know, I had to kind of leave me out of the equation, you know, totally. So some days when you'd have, like, a huge commitment that is, oh, muted and unmuted. Who's that?
I didn't mean to. Yeah, the CISPO did that. But yeah.
I thought I was going off into psychosis, hearing things. Oh, thank God, you were doing that, Carly. Woo! But it depends. It depends on what was needed for me that day. And some were such. I felt it required such a huge commitment. It would be actually easier to stay in character than to keep, you know, going on and off. You know what? It's kind of like your thermostat. This is like the weird comparison, but you spend more money turning the air on and off. It's actually more economical to leave it on one temperature, set it there, and don't touch it.
That's exactly what my uncle used to say. He worked for Edison. Leave it at the same temperature, rather than a lot of people say they turn it off all day. They come home and they've got to turn it back up, and it's got to work double the strength. So I agree with
that. Exactly, yeah.
It's the same analogy sometimes with acting, is that if you have a huge amount to do all day long, the going in and out and in and out, for me, not for everybody, but for me, was just more exhausting than just stay where you are.
Right. We must have been exhausted with all the poor Kimberly went through back in the day, huh?
Exactly.
I was so tired. But then you find, see, everybody, and I kind of borrow from other actors, too, because I saw other people use different skills, and it worked brilliantly for them. So, you know, like I said, there's no one right way or wrong way. It's just however you can do your job and
right.
get to the best of your ability and just get it out there as best you can. And we didn't, you know, you're not going to hit the nail on the head every time.
Right.
No, there's no way. But you get as close as you can, and
right.
you say, well, if I got about 60% today, I'll consider it a good job. I'm never going
right.
to get 100%, but 60 is good for under the circumstances. Under
definitely.
The circumstances.
I was curious, did you always know as a child or a teenager that you wanted to be an actress? Were you involved in school plays, music, or any kind of thing as a child?
No. I had a horrific fear of public speaking. When I was in grade school, my throat would turn bright red when we had to give current event reports in front of the class, and my throat would constrict. The fear would become so intense that it actually caused constriction in my throat. So they put me in a drama class hoping that someone would teach me how to get over the fear of speaking in public. And I found that maybe I was afraid to speak as Patsy Pease, but I was not as afraid to speak as somebody else.
Wow.
So that's very true.
You go into a character, and all of a sudden, I didn't have any problem at all. and I haven't shut up since. But that was the little trick that they used way back then. And I think it was really genius on this teacher's part. That's how it started. It was the first time I'd ever gotten a report card that had something really pleasant to say on it. Like, the woman wrote, "We think we have an actress." I can see the blue ink in front of me and the cursive writing. And I remember that's the first time I'd ever read anything that hit me that was that powerful, that gave me hope that maybe I could do something one day. Yeah, teachers are amazing. Teachers are so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone back and I've thanked that teacher since. That's been like over 40 years ago. I found her. And I went back and I hold you responsible.
April, what happened?
You're having problems with your blog talk, I think. I don't think it's Anthony's
phone.
Blog talk
is bad.
Continuing on, what was your first acting experience? And my question is the first program or play or whatever your first job was, did you know automatically, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what I love, this is where I'm supposed to be? Did you have that kind of feeling right away, or did you just kind of fall into it?
I knew because that teacher wrote on my report card when I was in grade school, when I got over the fear of speaking in public and I felt how powerful acting could be, what it could do for you, how it could so powerful, it can actually get a scared kid's throat to relax, that I thought, this is a really powerful way to communicate with people. And when that teacher wrote on my report card, we think we've got an actress.
Wow.
I just felt like I can really do something, you know, because I didn't have the kind of self-esteem it takes to even pursue something like that before. But when it's the power of teachers. Teachers
right.
can really, really, you might not have much support at home, but if you have the support of just one good teacher, and that's what I had, man, you can run with that. And I can still, you know, remember that blue ink, that cursive writing, and we think we've got an actress, we think. And I would just hold that as a mantra every time, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I go, yes, you do. That she believes, and see, I didn't believe, but she believed in me.
Right. And that is an incredible observation. You know, one kind word can change the outcome of a child's life without them even realizing, maybe until they're older. So I definitely agree with you, especially for children that have maybe not the best stable environment, a friend or someone to look up to or, you know, a mentor.
It makes a huge difference. I mean, people say, well, how can I make a difference? Let me tell you, kids are like sponges, and I was looking for some kind of reinforcement. I was looking for some kind of validation. Every kid does. Like that, you know, they want to see themselves through your eyes.
That's
like,
right.
Well, how am I? Am I okay? And when somebody says, oh, you're more than okay,
That's right.
You just want to run with that. If that's the only thing you have, and that's all I had. Hello?
Right.
Yep.
I'm here.
Yep.
Are we still on, or did it go off again?
No, we are still on.
Okay. Well, I have two closing questions because I know we're already going over. My first closing question is, if you could describe yourself personally and professionally with one word, take two if you need to, how would you describe yourself professionally and personally?
Hot mess.
For both, or for which one is it for?
I'm sorry?
Is that for both, or which one is that for?
Oh, it's for both. You can't separate that.
I think that's a good one. And I love your response. Most people, when I occasionally ask that, which I do, I hate to admit it, but I definitely, especially from your characters that I've observed, that would be a good one. When at the end of your life, you're sitting there, you know, thinking over your life, what is the message or statement that you want to say about Kathy, that, you know, the message that you want to leave that I was here, what is it that you want to most have said to the world? What would be your statement? And what would you like to leave? Shall you say, what would you like to see written on your tombstone? What does Kathy want to stand for at the end of the rainbow?
Oh, wow. That's she made a difference for the better.
Can't ask for more than that. That's very good. And, boy, you come up with them fast.
I have to with you because you're giving these really, really deep, insightful questions. I love these questions. I'm going, oh, dear God, please let me get this right.
Well, I've never seen a response like that, but I think that, you know, you can't ask for more than that. And I love your passion and enthusiasm. And
Thank you so much.
Interview. And, you know, again, Carly and I are going to get on the bandwagon. I would love to see the character of Kimberly come back.
Oh, and we have one more call.
Oh, even
that just
back.
Showed up.
Thank you so much. Yes. And I hope that
God bless you.
Thank you.
What an honor. Wow. What an honor.
Thank you.
Yeah. Patsy, we have one more call.
Okay.
207?
Yes. Hi, Patsy. This is Kimber.
Oh, Kimber, hi. You know what? I didn't know. I talked to you the other night, didn't I? And I didn't know it was you.
Well, you know what? I said Kimberly. I didn't say Kimber so that you had no idea it was me. So
I'm so sorry. But
no,
hey,
that's all right.
This is my homegirl. You know, I had a birthday, and she sent me a gift card to have manicures and pedicures. I'm telling you, my boys don't know to do that. I showed them what Kimber did, and I said, this is what you do for women.
Well,
the boys don't know.
I can't take all the credit. No, boys don't know how to do that. I don't expect my son. My son wouldn't think to do that either. So,
well,
no.
you just taught my boys how to treat their mama good.
No, I tell my brother, they call me and go, what do I get mom? I'm like, you're an idiot. I love you guys, but you're an idiot. And then I give them ideas. And then they take the idea as, like, they did it for themselves. And I'm like, yeah.
Yes, a chainsaw is not a good Mom's Day present.
No.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, I didn't want to take up too much. I know you guys are rolling over the hour point here, but I was debating to call because we're having thunder showers up here, and I wasn't sure if it was safe to call.
No, I'm glad you did.
Size right now.
Are you sending them down here? You're in Maine, right?
Yes.
Well, you must have sent them down here because I'm looking at the ducks running around, very scared.
Oh God.
Kimber, take it away now. That's not nice. The mani and the patties are nice, but please don't send me lightning. Now, God bless her. Kimber has been, you know, I have some of the best girlfriends. And, you know, I hate to say, you know, fans, because they're more, they're friends. I mean, these are people who supported me for years. These are people who kept me with a job.
Mm.
You know, these are people who... when I had personal crisis or something, you know, they were right there. I mean, that's what friends do.
Exactly. Oh, my co-host, Will, is on the phone really quick. Will, are you there? Hello? Oh, why
Hello?
Is Blog Talk? Will? Will? I guess he... Blog Talk is so giving to me today. We love having you. If there's a chance you would ever come back, because, you know, like I said, I could talk to you all day.
Oh, yeah, this is so much fun. You guys, I'll tell you, and I'm so sorry I went over on your show that I'm so verbose. I know I yak a lot, but I get excited.
I love it. I mean, I told my grandma you were coming on, and grandma's like, okay, don't talk to her for 3 hours and take up her time. Like, Grandma, it might be at 7 hours, so.
Hi, Grandma.
She too nervous to call in, but she goes, I go, Grandma, it might be at 7 hours, so. And she goes, she's like, and she's so cute.
Tell her, this actress does not shut up once you get her going.
No,
I'm like a chatty cat doll.
And she goes, she was so funny. She's like, is Shane going to call in? Tell me Shane's going to call him. I go, Grandma, I don't know Shane. Hopefully I can get him on before I die. That's my next.
Oh, yeah. That would be a treat.
You know,
yeah.
Because she loved him, and she gets mad when people call him the nanny guy. Because she's like, no, he's the Days of a Life guy. I'm like, Grandma?
I think you should have Charlie on. I really do.
Well, is there any way you can talk to him? Because I tried him on Twitter. I've tried every alley, and he has so many Twitter people. He passes mine, and I'm like, crap.
Well, he's probably off doing plays and stuff, right? I mean, he's all over the place. He travels
the time. He travels pictures all the time. But, you know, we love having you, and... we want you to come back, and if you get an inkling of if you're doing dates after we do the whole, Patsy is coming back at dates because we are seriously going to do it. We would love to have you back.
Really? You guys? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're really going to do that?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, because we haven't, you know, because storyline purposes, you need to come back. But the storyline-driven purposes of you coming back, because it's, you know, Teresa's going to need your mom, because poor Teresa's probably going to go to jail. And, you know, when she did that to Drake, and Drake kept saying to Teresa, I knew your parents from way back, blah, blah, blah. And I go, yeah, maybe he used to call Shane, but now he might be in coma. So, you know,
if I get a script, I'm going to let you guys are going to be the first to know.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we really want you on there because you need to be on. And, you know, I love the scenes with you and Drake over the years when you thought he was Roman, you know, but he's now gone. And
I missed. Oh, man. Talk about another great actor. Oh, man. I mean, you know, and I think he was just under. I mean, he went under the radar far too many times. He deserved so many Emmys. So many times and so many storylines. I really think he did. And
but so did you. I mean, you did. And, you know, I'm still mad at the Emmy people because I feel like they pass up good people and it's almost like a repeat every year because I thought Teresa still got one last year for all her things.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yes.
So,
and what about Charlie with the Drew, his cousin, cousin Drew? He was playing both those personalities, or the amnesia storyline. What about Charlie with those? Just
exactly
underrated.
Doesn't that
kill you?
Yeah, well, I will say this before we go, but Days of Our Life, I feel in the last 20 years has been the stuff, you know, the step kid to, like, Days of Our Life and General Hospital and Why Now.
Yeah.
Days in number one.
Yeah, I agree. Well, hopefully that'll change, but if I get a script or anything, I'm going to call you guys and we'll have another party.
Okay, cool. Enjoy your day.
Thank you so much, Carly. God bless. Thank you, everybody,
too,
for watching. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. So that was Patsy Peeds from, you know, as Kimberly on Days of Our Life. I just want to let you guys know tomorrow we will be having Sonia Eddy on here at 7 p.m. West Coast time, 10 o'clock Eastern. I want to thank Patsy Peeds again for calling in. And everyone have a good night. Tenfo signing out.